Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Shouting and shy, singing words you cannot say. Welcome back, my friends, to the show where I pretended to be an me. Well, still don't got it. It's an ATOV radio, a team of voices. We are a group inside allpoetry.com. It is free to join. Find us inside groups. Knock on the door, we'll let you in. The number here is 646-668-2837. That's 646-668-2837. It is free to join. So come hang out, be a part. Tonight with me, I'm Jay Hatter, your host. Tonight with me is a man from Down Under, AP Taylor. How you doing, AP? Man from Oz.
Yeah, thanks, Hatter. I should say for overseas visitors too, you have to put the plus one first. Plus one for the United States. So plus one, then the 646-668-2837, just for those overseas guests.
Excellent. And also, this is Deborah Lee. Hey, Deb. She does all the heavy lifting in the back so we can sit out here and look pretty. Thank you, Deb.
My pleasure.
Well, this has been a long-awaited show. We've had it.
It has.
Reason or another. I don't even remember what drawing or picture we wrote to.
Well, I do, because I only did it yesterday. So, you know, I've been like weeks behind. So, you know, I remember what it was. But you probably don't have it, because you probably did it when it was given to you.
I can't wait to hear it.
It was the first time he would have beat you anyway, AP. He came back almost instantly. But Hatter, it was the one that had the word Wonderland in the billboard.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And the beach at the front and the park, the amusement
boardwalk.
Park at the back.
Oh, the
boardwalk.
Yeah.
The boardwalk.
Yes.
All of the boardwalk. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one. And Stephen's
yeah,
here as well.
Hi, Stephen.
Okay. Hello, just Stephen. Please.
Hello, just
Hi, Stephen. So I'm back, Hatter, because it was mainly my fault, it has to be said, that we didn't run the show for a number of weeks, because I was otherwise indisposed.
Indisposed.
Others would say
I
was in hospital.
Well, you can say fall for indisposed.
No.
The long-awaited treasure.
Treasure, yes, we're on treasure. But it was strange, Hatter. I have to say, it was strange, because for 3 weeks I'd been sending my hospital photos of my arm with a small infection on it. And it's fairly obvious that nobody looked at it. And so it got to the monthly review, and they picked up my file and it showed all of these pictures of a little infection on my arm, and everybody went, oh, shit. And then they called me into hospital to get that fixed. So that's basically what happened. I was perplexed, Deb, because I'd been sending them photos and it'd been getting better. And 3 weeks down the track, it got better still. And then they call in and say, okay, now they're going to do an operation on it. So I'm like, oh, yeah, great. Fantastic. Excellent. So there you go. Another bloody hundreds of more stitches in my arm. Anyway, it's slowly recovering. Did you say
104 or was that sarcasm?
Oh, no, I said hundreds of stitches. There's like 300 stitches in my left arm.
Oh, my
Something
word.
Like that. Yeah. It's like 4 inches incision.
Sounds like tons of fun. That is sarcasm.
Well, that is sarcasm, because, of course, what you have to do is put a needle into that the day afterwards.
Oh, I thought I could really snap.
Two of them. And they're both an inch long.
No.
And so I actually went and for the first time in my life actually got some local anesthetic in my arm for the first time. Because I thought, this is gonna hurt a bit. Like a little.
It's gonna hurt
like,
a bit.
Majorly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so I got a couple of locals in and it wasn't too bad. And you know, but it does take literally about 6 weeks to settle down, because you've basically redesigned all of the veins in the arm, and they get a bit soft and fluffy, and so they've got to get hard and bruise and all that stuff, and that only happens by, you know, sticking more needles into them. So, you know, it's slowly getting back to where it was, and it looks a lot more elegant than what it did, except, of course, for the 4-inch sickle sort of shaped sort of incision. So that's all gone swimmingly.
Elegant, that's a different word. In that context.
Yeah. Yeah. But that all went swimmingly, really, all things considered. You know, I mean, there's always going to be a swine of a thing sticking needles into the new vein. It always happens. That's life. But we did find out my foot was a lot worse than what we thought. And that is a problem, a significant problem. So, it is never, never good to have an infection in the bone of your heel. Never good, says he, shaking his head slowly. So we are on antibiotics, heavy-duty ones. We'll see what they do, and then we'll work out our way forward. So we're all hopeful, crossing our fingers, legs, toes, whatever else we can, to
we
see how
too.
That goes. Yeah. So that's
yes, we are sending prayers.
And then just to add to the fun and games, you know, intern one said to intern two while big boss was talking, oh, we did a test for diabetes, he's got diabetes too. So I sort of found that out from the interns in passing, which is always nice. Mm. And so I've been getting used to nicking my finger and testing my blood sugar 3-4 times a day. And it has been remarkably good, I have to say. I haven't actually failed a single test yet after a week, which is, what,
awesome.
20 tests or something so far. So I think I'm going okay on that score as well, but the foot is a mess. So, and disappointing, because disappointing is a slightly understatement, really, because I was getting it tested and checked and redone every week, and they've clearly missed it. So, unfortunately, it's never nice to have a miss when you talk about medical science, and I'm sure there's going to be good reasons for that, but we'll go and work out what they are. So, yeah, so that was, the foot is unfortunate and bad, in short.
Sucks.
Mm-hmm. It does a bit. So, yes, so at some point, I look forward to amputating that foot and getting around on a prosthesis. So that's the medium term outlook. So almost inevitably the medium term outlook at this point. So we can see
if
there are
really sleek hook looking ones and sort of put
some.
There's
some really cool ones.
There's
some really ones, some of the ones that the athletes and stuff in the Paralympics wear are really funky. I wasn't running before with my replacement, you know, Achilles tendon. So the only hope I've got of running is to actually have a prosthesis. There are worse things. There probably are. I've probably had them. So anyway, that's the update on my medical side of things. I accidentally went into hospital to have a arm repaired late and ended up with the diagnosis of a really awful foot. So,
sadly, that sounds like the beginning of a really bad joke, ain't it?
I know. Well, it does. But I wish it was. But it wasn't. It's true.
I wish it was, too.
So, you know, but that's my the cat ate the homework sort of story to the teacher. So, but we're back on the air now, Tatter. We're doing treasure. So, and Stephen's cool because I think he's got a treasure song.
It finally came anyway, huh? So, yeah. This is all secondary to, you know, stuff happens, man. That's no big deal.
Christ, yeah, absolutely. Stuff happens, absolutely, and. Sometimes it doesn't happen for a purpose, and sometimes it happens for a purpose. It's just, you know, it's just stuff, you know. But,
so today, you're October 3rd now, okay, AP. Here, October 2nd, National Produce Misting Day, and National Name Your Car.
Really?
Okay, who's named their cars before? What were the names? You ever name your
Enterprise.
Car?
Haven't named my cars. My ex named her cars all the time. My ex had a name for all of her cars.
Yeah. When I get a new car,
I just called them muddy sinks. But you know, no, but she had a name for them.
When I get a new car, it gets named Enterprise, and when it gets really old, it gets renamed Millennium Falcon, because then I'm saying, "Hear me, baby, hold together."
That's neat. I like that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I only have square words for the Volvo XC90.
I've cursed at a few cars, but I've never named one.
No,
you never named one,
Dad? Cursed the Volvo. Oh, jeez. Cursed the Volvo.
Did
any
of your friends name it for you?
Time again. Had up that Volvo, I tell you. 2,000 smackers just to change the tires. Needed new tires every 30,000 to 40,000 K because it was 2 ton. It was like a tractor. It really should have been a tractor. It really should have been pulling a plow. But it's just ate rubber. 2 tons. Jesus, it was big.
It
God. Jesus. No, it did. It ate rubber. You know, it sat down, it got hungry, and it just sort of bit into it and kept on biting until the tires were pulled, and you'd have to buy some more. And you'd have to buy some more after that. And then walk. It was just like, God.
Well, you only got new
me.
Tires.
Tire
usually
just for this car.
The brakes are chomping down on those tires, and that's why they got bad to begin with.
Well,
not the case?
No, it was not the case. Yeah, well, maybe. But no, it was just more the fact that you could either
well, if it's the brakes,
rumble.
They're just going to eat some more
no,
tires.
No. You could get harder tires, right? And then you would rumble. And my ex would get really upset about the fact that she was rumbling. Because she said it wasn't a car. And I said it wasn't a car anyway. It was a bloody two-ton tractor and just happened to be on the road. But, you know, I did get hard tires occasionally. But then she'd notice it. And so she wants soft tires because it sounded like a car. And then it would go back to eating them again.
Sounds like a real bitch.
Oh, man. I'll tell
the
you.
Car,
the
I
car.
Mean. I wouldn't have said the other thing out loud.
No. Go the whole way, Deb. Just, you know, hog, I reckon. You know, anyway.
Did we post one for Stephen? Or?
I did.
Deb's already done it. Deb, tell it. I just was distracting everybody by talking about a Volvo XC90. That's all. That's okay. I'm sure there was some treasure in it somewhere. Only when I sold it.
All right. Well, treasure, this was a contest for family heirlooms, and I thought this is a very good poem about a very good personal treasure that I had, a pocket watch that's been handed down from generation to generation since before the Civil War in my family. And
I love it.
I call this Pocket Chronicler of Grandfather's Great. Of grandfathers, the hands have moved from plot and plow of farmhouse green through the war against brothers and cousins bleed. Keyed winding of gears before the milk of cows and timely tending to the sows, keeping time through high school field, 100 yards of steam shovel yield. Then moving south to pecan house, palm trees swaying heat, mischievous matriarch puts son's luck in dark, timing trip up Hotel Street. Then epochs roll over to town of Andover, small woodshop upon the square. Swing ring did stay closed and hands finally froze, century parts now found disrepair. When woodcarver passed timepiece in father's hands, horologist brings back to life, interior cabinet on display family trinket, among the ceramics of wife. Now, don't you know it, in the hands of a poet, when cancer took father away, it sits behind glass, family linked to the past, ticking life's minutes each day. End poem.
Very
nice,
way.
Dude. I like
wow.
that a lot.
That was good.
I like that a lot. What brand is it? I've got to ask, because I can't see it on the photo. What's the brand of pocket watch?
Oh my gosh, you know what? I've never looked.
Come on.
Really? I've never looked. I've left it in that little container. I've never even touched it. I left it in its little.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, cool.
I had glass, you see, because
yeah.
I've got one that's similar.
Oh.
What's the diameter of that?
It's a couple inches across. It's good sized, actually.
Okay.
Oh, is
okay.
it? Well, that's a big one. Mine's only an inch and a bit. Yeah?
Is this actually it in the photo, Stephen?
Yeah, that's actually it.
I assume so because of the Hello Kitty behind it. And I've got it blown up on my screen, and the funny thing is the glare is over the left part of the writing, and it says blah, blah, watch company. So there's two, either blank and blank watch company or two words watch company.
Wow.
Is what it's, And the poem is really awesome, filled with family pride and nostalgia and history and love and congratulations on the Bronze Award. It was a really cool share.
Thank you.
So, Stephen, if you look at the board, you'll see your watch and my watch, although from different manufacturers. Mine is American. Mine's an American Waltham in sterling silver. Mine is very, very similar to yours in terms of age, because they've got the same little minute counter, and they've got the same type of hands, and they've got the same type of numerals and outside descriptors. So they're not from the same manufacturer, but they're from about the same time, I suspect. So
definitely look
very similar, very, very similar. So, but putting that to one side, the lovely thing about having an item that's handed down like a watch is that there's a lovely sense of history. There's a lovely sense of presence, and there's a lovely sort of sense of pride in having something that's been in a family for a period of time. And, you know, the very fact that it's sitting behind glass and that it's held there and you know where it is, and there's something quite special about that. And I think you picked that up, and you picked up the history in the right, which I thought was quite lovely.
Thank you, AP.
Yeah, heirlooms are special, man. I think if blew that picture up and then went in and put a different lens on it, that glare will go away in one of them. But yeah, something from the company. Excellent.
I can go back to the room and take a look at it.
Yeah, well,
Stephen, you should write
down
what you know about it and sort of keep it with it to preserve the, what is that, provenance of it?
Provenance, yeah.
And to also expand on the sentimentality for, like, your son later. Just saying.
Because that stuff does get lost.
It does.
That stuff does get lost. Whether we like it or not, it does get lost. But, no, it's beautiful. And they're beautiful things, pocket watches. They're just, they're because they're small and but they're easily identified and sourced. And so, you know, I can tell you down to the month and the year that mine was made, just because of the marks that are on the shell of the watch. So, very, very nice. Very, very nice. And reasonably straightforward to get fixed as well, too, so that you can use them. Hatter. Did you pass comment on Stephen's poem? You did. Did you want to put your piece up on the board?
I'll go get it here in one second.
Perfect.
Yeah, anything. I love the antiques, the heirlooms, family heirlooms, and the story behind them. I'm always fascinated. So that picture immediately caught my attention. Just telling the story of the family trinket. You know, it's behind glass, links to the past. Dickie Vice minutes each day. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, your dad said that his grandfather was the last one that actually used it on a daily basis and wound it, and would look at it in the morning, say time to milk the cows and all that stuff. But when my dad's father got it, that's when it started just being, on display.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Stephen, are you going to hang around with us for a little while, or do you have to disappear?
I will hang out for as long as I can. The thing is I'm off on Sundays now, but I am so exhausted by the time Saturday night gets here that I do tend to fall asleep.
I get it. No, I completely get it. So, Hatter, how did you find the process of writing on the topic of treasure?
I thought it would be easier. I thought it was going to be easier on myself. But,
really?
It wasn't as easy as I thought. Just my head was, I'm sure.
Okay.
Going to... Yeah, I didn't. Come on.
And I did one, but of course it was in hospital. But I'm still really happy with one of the lines, which is strange. So I don't normally write well in hospital. But anyway, there you go.
Okay.
Are you not finding yours, Hatter? Is that what's happening?
Cursor's not working. Yeah, too many open here.
What's it called?
Oh, okay.
It's not. It's in my drafts. I haven't posted it yet.
Oh, okay.
So, okay.
Do you want me to read mine while you're getting it better?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. We should maybe do a poll.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me do mine because it's not long.
Okay.
It's not long. But Hatter. The first stanza, I'm here to tell you, I think it's got something. Yeah, I say that all the time, but I think the first stanza's got something if you're into alphabetical stuff. So here we go. This is about treasure. It goes a little bit like this. We constrain high as a beholder toward low. Know the context why, as why is a you absent bow. In harmony tones lie, if perspective we show, own perspectives belie the echo's tremor so. Once look, will surprise, find far from a neat row, as established those wise are the crescendo to know. Wait, responses nigh, currents divine as we go, or by storms notes sigh, divine the shadows below. End poem.
Debbie, what'd you think?
Did you say me?
Yes.
She did, and he did.
Cool. Well, for starters, I know he said the first stanza, but you got to love that last line of the first stanza, especially, as why is a you absent bow. I mean, you can just picture it. It's awesome. But it's a great brevity with little stanzas. And if you look, it's like monorhyme A and monorhyme B throughout, if that's even the way you would put that. Because, you know, it's A is all I, and B is all O, and monorhyme's not an easy thing to do to begin with, but this has got double monorhyme. And it's one of those things that you look at and you can come up with several different concepts of what you thought was being said in there, which is one of AP's specialties where, you know, and it'll, you could pick up something different next time you look at it too. So it's that the multifaceted wording that shows here.
Thanks.
Okay.
You've got it, Hatter?
I got mine. Yeah, did everybody see
it? Yeah, now I'm just going to make one comment before you go. One comment before you go. And that is that in the Greek, remember that the Greeks were, the great poets. In the Greek, they have a letter called Ypsilon. Ypsilon lowercase is a U. Ypsilon in the uppercase looks like a Y. And so they mix the two sounds in the Greek. And that's what a lot of the great poetry was written in. And, of course, just for the record, the Greeks stole Ypsilon from the Phoenicians a couple of thousand years before. So, anyway, there you go. A little bit of history. U's and Y's and Ypsilons, but the Greeks mixed them up.
What?
There you go. I'm just saying. Just putting a bit
there better
of
be a link somewhere.
Yeah. I like how you said, what?
Putting a bit of Greek out there. Never let it be said I don't do homework, Hannah. Never let it be said I don't do homework.
Not that good, man. Think tank.
I'm just saying.
So Deb, we're going to do the collab while is Steven still here? While the crowd's still here?
I was going to say, do yours and then we'll do that so that Steven can get rest because he's been on the
radio. I thought I was done when I posted it. I guess I have to read it. I don't know how this one turned out.
Here we go.
Because it came from two different places, blah, blah. Okay. Treasures with no name. Treasures found in fish bowls that turns the air sea blue. Addicted to the water that tells me it was you. Without the arrows that point one way, the boxes have no name. Seeking out those things called free, learning to play the game. Stacked in corners of the memory, the gift of all once found. Gold and silver fill the mind deep from underground. Treasure seeks a place to rest deep in shallowed holes. This is where he said to dig for silver and for gold. Didn't quite finish it, but that was all I got.
Don't mind that, Heather. Don't mind that. I see what you mean coming from two different ways. I mean, the sort of fishbowl and the arrows in the second stanza sort of links it, but then there's a sort of back memory of treasure, which is the sort of back two stanzas, the third and fourth. And I really like the third and fourth stanzas. I like the coming from the sort of background history piece. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
And I particularly like treasure seeks a place to rest. I really like that as a line. I can't tell you why, but I do.
All you had to do is find out where it's resting.
Well, that's half the trip, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think I've pan it up, and I see
exactly.
You've expanded too, Hatter, not just gold now. You want silver and gold. You might as well go for some opals while you're at it as well.
Oh, yeah. Some pirate bounties have washed upon this shore.
Yes. Might as well go for opals, eh? When in doubt, go for opals.
Yeah. And you come across a beautiful vein of opals, and then right under there, you'll notice something shiny, and it'll be a big blob of silver. And then right next to it, a crevice packed with gold. And you'll say, Eureka!
And we'll leave the silver bar. It's worth so little. But we'll go with the gold and the opal.
There you go. The silver is just so pretty.
It is, but it's bugger the mind. Anyway. I put my foot on the side in. Stephen, what did you think of Treasures with No Name?
I like it. As always, I like the rhyme and flow that you bring, Hatter. I'm not very good at finding the meaning of many poems, but this one seems to me that it's mostly about treasure being those fond memories of loved ones who have passed away. I'm probably wrong, but that's what I saw. I think it's awesome. It's an excellent rhyme.
Thanks, Stephen.
Deb and Stephen and Hatter, we have another party that wants to join the party here, and that's Fallon, who I believe is on hold and in the studio around about sort of nowishly. Hello, Donald.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there, hanging in there.
Two weeks out.
I had COVID pneumonia, and I was on a ventilator for 3 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. Jesus.
I got a second.
Bloody hell.
I had no idea, Phil.
That's why I'm doing better. I'm hanging in there. I'm not very well, but I'm trying.
But you're not
there wasn't enough going on. You needed to battle some COVID too. Man, oh man.
Yeah. But I got it.
Jeez.
Don't worry. I'm all good. I wanted to come and share some love.
Well done.
I'm so glad you called.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Man.
Jesus Christ.
Deborah, I'll be right back. I need to take care of something.
Okay.
Heather is coming back.
How's the grandbaby?
That's the 432. Well, she's beautiful. She looks just like me.
I know she's beautiful.
That'll do it.
She does really. I'll have to post a picture up. Y'all would die. She is just a cutie pie. But I haven't seen her in almost a year now. They won't let me see her.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right back to the same stuff we're doing, Deb. Right back to the same stuff. But you know what? Let them have. You know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Exactly.
Yep.
No, the medical stuff. It is what it is.
They're lost.
But you're still with us. You're still with us, though, Phelan, which is the most important thing. And it sounds like you're not on a ventilator, which is even better.
No. I've been off the ventilator for about 2 weeks. I'm finally at home, but I had to learn how to walk over again. And crazy. I have no strength. This virus is very, very deadly, and it doesn't really attack everybody the same. I got sick, and then 13 hours later, I was fighting for my life. Seriously.
Wow.
I don't do
wow.
It was horrible. Horrible.
Wow.
But anyway, let's get back to the show, because I wanted to comment on Deb's piece.
Okay.
We're on the board.
Okay.
Believe it or not, that's a collab, a blind collaboration.
It is a collab.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Let me go click on that.
This is a blind collaboration.
Yeah, I send a picture to AP and to Hatter, and then each one of them send me back a fistful of lines without speaking to one another. And then I take those lines and try to thread them into a cohesive poem, and this will be number 59.
Yep. This is what we do.
Oh, my God. I thought this was about one person. One person only.
No.
I mean, this is how well it's so well themed. I mean, it's just sewed up perfectly.
They've been pretty much doing that since the first week, Dylan. They just mesh, and all I have to do is put it together like a little puzzle and put a title on it. And they usually, they've even got some tens in this. I'm trying to stall a little. Are you back, Hatter?
Wow.
Hello?
So, I mean, you wrote for it too, didn't you, Deb? Or did you just put it together?
Deb
sorry,
just puts it together.
Did you write, did you put some pieces in here? Is that just APs and
I put conjunctions and an odd word here or there, but for the most part, no. It's all them. I just get to do the title. Yeah.
I'm in just an awe.
And
what really speaks to me
and
is
you can
eyes,
see
the,
you can see our
eyes
bottom
on the
film. You can see our
bits
on
the bottom.
Just for the record.
Okay, I got it now.
So you can see what each of us wrote. Independently of each other.
And then she put it, this is a very, very, very well constructed piece. I mean, even though this is my kind of style. This is what I love to do, and Deb knows it. I love just putting lines out there and see how they fall and have someone else go in behind it or before it and just let it fall as it falls. So this just, This is something that speaks to me. I love it. Absolutely stunning work.
Well.
It struck me a little sad this time. There was sad undertones in some of it. So we will see.
Oh, yeah.
That's what led me to the title. But, okay. Stephen had to go. Thank you for calling, Stephen. Good night.
Thank you, Stephen.
I will see you at the mortuary on Monday. I'm trying to see what you are. Was in there because I don't remember. Open Darkness at the Mortuary Monday night with Kay and Stephen at A Poetic Slice, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Okay. Now,
yep.
Hatter, are you back?
Yes, I am.
We'll see.
He's okay.
I'm here.
Ah, he is back. Okay, cool.
Cool. Okay. I'm going to read the collab then. I was trying to wait for you so that you would get to hear it too. Now, this is called Circuits and Gears Are Not Bone and Flesh with a Warm Touch. Here we go. I remember you on a beach of laughter, staring at the kids out with their floaties, then spotting dogs and sharks outside the park fishing for the prize in water surfing between boaties. Out on a walk, I watched you talk, strolling down the boardwalk to view Star Wars at the cinema. Eating things like candy strings and chocolate fudge comes to mind, but the kids hold the man spar. Circling rides that touch the skies, the seagulls are on the run. Without a clue, though it was you, thought it was you, they were too blind to see. At the ticket kiosk, the usher yells, Luke, you're my son. If by design I made this rhyme so you would understand that there is no try if you're a shark. Back in Oz, there was a pause because it's all about me or the boat for a lark. I spy pirate eyes on the slip and slide atop the pizzeria by the roller coaster towers, carnival tents from letters sent postmarked Wonderland tied to balloons or bunched flowers. Two tandem bikes with ice cream trikes hold a handful of colored balloons, all Wonderland by score, with the castle down and sad clowns in search of things to be, but it's not drones I'm looking for. End poem.
These are not the drones you're looking for.
Wow.
That's fun. Isn't that a great line, Hatter? I just went to Star Wars quotes. You know, I just couldn't help myself.
Yeah. These are not the drones you're looking for.
The drones I'm looking for seem to fit with the sadness that was in undertones of some of your lines, Hatter. So that's why I started out. You had a line that started with I remember you, so I started there, and then took it like a memory, like a pieces of nostalgia.
Oh, sure.
Things that happened on that beach that day or on the boardwalk. And as usual, you tied enough together with the balloons and even pulling into the movie that you went to see, where during that walk you went to the cinema to see Star Wars. And I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, the guy at the kiosk is yelling, Luke, you're my son. So, because, you know, nobody ever talks about Star Wars without saying, Luke, I am your father. So, you know, it was really cool.
Thank you, Dick.
What do you think? What do you think?
Well, I only did my lines yesterday, you know, so this is quite fresh in my head. Yeah. So I had to say something about the shark because clearly, you know, that it was almost sort of semi humorous, but not having a shark going around sort of half eating everybody while they're surfing around them. And then I saw the cinema with Star Wars and that sort of completely put me aside because I just sort of thought, well, no, I'm going to finish every line with Star Wars quote now. So that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. Even though there was a lot on there, I remember having a little difficulty creating them for some reason. There's plenty of stuff there.
Oh, yeah, but see, you keep getting yourself lost in trying to create stuff. All I want you to do is write some impressions of what you're seeing. You don't necessarily have to tie them together in any way.
Oh, no, agreed. It's just sometimes you're trying to break free and look outside the box.
Yeah, but no matter how far outside the box either one of you go, you seem to at least keep one of your piggy toes in there at the same level together to tie them up. So, you know, run with it. Whatever hits you in the face when you first look at it is where I want you to go.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting incredibly blown away by how often the same thing smacks you in the face, especially if it's Pinocchio. Just saying.
Yeah, we often start
I wonder what,
the same
fight. How different it would be if as soon as you posted it, you went in and made the your list, then waited a week before the show, just you know, quickly first impression. How similar or how different would it be?
Good question. I just look at the image and I just go straight off the image what I see, Patter, and I don't. But I tend to make them rhyme because that's how I write normally. Yeah, because normally I write rhyme.
Sure.
So I'm not, you know, I'm not having to work to make it rhyme. It just rhymes naturally.
So what number did we get on this, Ed?
As a ranking.
Wow.
What was it?
Well, we've had some tens. I don't know about this one, Deb. What was this one?
I'm mute, Deb.
I'm sorry, which one?
But what
one
was
you
the
just
order
finished?
Number on
this particular poem. Yeah.
Yeah, the one you guys just finished is a 6.6.
Yeah.
But, me and Deb could do this right off the rip.
And they do have quite a few tens, though. And if you look to the right of the poem, you'll see where it says AP and Hatter Blind Collabs to 59, that folder there.
Oh, I'm going to go look at them.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want some entertainment, you thumb through that bad boy because there's funny, crazy stuff in there and several of them, like I said, a half a dozen or so that they scored 10. It's uncanny. You'll be blown away by how they tie together, and almost effortlessly. I sent them the picture earlier for the next one. Next week they'll be doing collaboration number 60. I like the round number milestones. So.
I really like this picture.
Well, did
it's a great picture.
Steven already took off. Steven took off, right?
Yeah,
he had to go, and I just pushed his show for Monday for him. And
okay.
Like, I don't know how long you guys will last, so maybe we should push a few of the poems that are still here.
Yeah, I reckon.
Please do.
And Stel, you got anything on Treasure over there? Or? That you want to read while you're here?
Well, I don't see.
AP, you want to read for Frank?
It could be. We could do that too. So we could put Frank's poem up and you could read that, Felon, if you would like, or you could find one of your own.
Absolutely, I'll do that.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Wait. There you go. It's on the chat wall. Awesome.
Oh, well done, Deb. Jeez, how impressive is that?
You want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. This is by Poetic Picasso, and it's called A Lost Spanish Treasure. Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. Ralph Waldo Emerson. A lost Spanish treasure of tinsel silver, coins, and gold opal nuggets radiate and then a certain a furious glow so visibly. Within the center of this chestnut mahogany chest, as a prism of crystal colors entered through their oblique, the magnificent glow reaches the beeswax wall, ebony shade and the diameter of darkness, penetrating the sun's strange light effects outside. And the cobalt coins are a token sign of a hunting shadow, a hunting shadow of an old, forgotten legend, where an evergreen garland once rested, era, upon the scrupulous laurels of a winter ghost and the fallen snowflakes outside the bear, the howling winds of their fate. A unique legend born within the tale of the seamen and narrated by the raconteurs of the seaports. Bespeaking the doting pirates from the Caribbean, whose ships were lost in the periwinkle waters of the frigid Atlantic Ocean. Legends say the ghost ship sails on ahead with its voyage, would list the immortal phantoms of the ship sent search endlessly for the hidden lost Spanish treasures they once possessed, whose worth and discovery is said to be a future fortune. End point. Sorry, I messed that up. I get out of breath for a minute.
No, it was good. You didn't mess it up at all. It was good. Good read. Well done. Hatter, have you heard this one before by Frank? Or is this new to you?
No, you did call me, right? Let's see.
Yeah, I did.
I have to say it is totally different from his accent. When somebody else reads it, that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No,
it's just
right.
It takes on a different tone. I don't know specifically, you know, besides that, but well written, always a good write from.
Deb, did you want to say a few words? I know you've heard this one before, but did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, it was from one of my prompts, I think, but. But I agree that it was really interesting to hear it as Spell read it versus his accent and the way he reads. It sort of even gave it a different perspective. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, it was an awesome poem and a great share. Thanks for sending it in, Frank.
Yeah, thanks, Frank.
Hey, Pete, did you want to read for Gerald?
Yeah, why not? Let's do that. Let's do that. Gerald's usually fantastic at having a SoundCloud, and he's probably must have had a few technical difficulties because he usually sends a SoundCloud in, but we will read for him this particular week, and he has a piece called Album from a year ago, and it goes a little bit like this. Some call them junk because of dust and rust, staying their honoured positions on shelves and secure places. Owners refer to tricycles with tattered ribbons hanging from tarnished handles as memories. Worn-out flexible flyers with rusty runners as conveyors of bundled joy on snowy days. Unpolished roller skates hanging next to freezers as vehicles of independence. Wooden-handled golf clubs resting in corners as symbols of health. Dog bowls resting on top of old wardrobes as memorials to best friends. I call them treasure. End poem.
Cool.
Unmuted. Wow.
Kind of like
that.
Kind of like that. These are a few of my favorite things, feel.
It did, didn't it? It did.
Yeah.
It had a sort of sense of position and pride, really, that was sort of sitting below the words, which was really interesting.
I was pretty struck with dog bowls resting on top of old wardrobes as memorials to best friends. I love this. I really love the sweet, nostalgic feel of it.
Beautiful sense to it. Phil, what did you think of the piece?
I really enjoyed
there?
It because, you know, no matter who we are, we all feel and sense a loss and pain the same way. And we do things to remind us of someone a certain way. How she was talking about the bowls on top of the wardrobe, or just the feel of the wooden handles of a golf club. You know, I was to have it in my hand, it would bring back memories of certain things. I think this really paints a picture of his past, of his childhood, and then on forward. I think this is a very sentiment piece, and it's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, okay. So it's a lovely piece. And Gerald has a particular talent for picking up a sense and a feel of something, and he does that here again in the piece that he's written. Deb, you've
yes.
got a piece on the board as well.
I did, yeah. I went with a different kind of treasure, too.
Okay.
Here it is, okay. It's actually from a myth, but
okay.
you just never know what somebody might treasure. This particular bird treasures a thorn. So it's called Born to Die. And here we go. Hatched mythical bird, single goal haunts like a melody tune on endless replay. A lot of tune on endless replay, driving each move, every flight. Avians seeking sharpness like a treasure hunt. One thorn tree in the entire world calling to only him. Pulse flutters upon recognition. He dive bombs, impaling himself. Mission accomplished. His blood spills in slow drips. Born to die. Before death takes him, a thorn bird sings, wailing his most glorious song. End poem.
Intriguing. I haven't heard that one, Ted. No, it's a fascinating thought about, you know, some people's treasure is another person's trash, and some people's, treasure is another person's way to in their life, and that's what this is about. It's a really interesting poem on perspective. Hatter. Did you want to say
Thank
a few
you.
Words? I don't think we have him at the minute. Fallon, did you want to say a few words on Deb's piece?
I really love the metaphor or the message in this. Sometimes we just want to hurt. Sometimes we just want to fulfill ourselves to a certain thing, and that we will not rest until we have that blood on our own hands, and that we are our own creator of our own destiny and our own journeys, and no matter what, you can dive bomb shit, or you can just basically just keep flying or soaring, or just soar, just keep in the air until you find what you're looking for. And I guess that's what he wanted. He wanted that thorn, and this is very sad. At the same time, this is very very intellect right, Deb. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
And Hatter, are you back with us or not?
Yes, I'm back. Thanks.
Ah, excellent.
I'll take this on.
Did you hear Deb's piece, Hatter?
No, I didn't. I just got back.
Ah, okay. No, that's okay. We'll get you to go back and have a look. Thank you very much.
No worries. Let's just grab another poem so we can see here. How about we play Cal, and then we'll have Phil
yeah,
and read her.
Play Cal, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if you
here's
want to put Cal's words up, then I will.
Here's his link.
His perfect, and I will hit his recording now.
Wind in your hair left the time signature down ice. Chilled spine, backbone curves, a bouquet, grace in ebony air. Life, as it entwined upon breath, mark of fading scar, spirit left destination. Crackling eggshell skull bone decomposed into fertile seeds, grown poppies among infinite virulency. Corpse phase, once hollowed empty, gives birth to nature. darkness spread across abandoned, randomly dancing silhouettes.
There we go. And
Bob.
Deb, that was that was written with Joe within Chains. So it was the two of them together collaborating. Oh, it was really interesting. Because both of them have very distinct styles, and it, to have them both together on a page is actually a really, really good thing. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I think that the contrast with added to the dimensions here, I think that, like, Jo's distinctly abstract, and she's really, really good at it. And then you take Cal, which in my opinion is usually more of an in-your-face calling attention to something. They combined way better than I expected, and that might sound wrong, but I really meant it as a compliment. It's just that they're so different that it surprised me how flawlessly it blended together. I think they did a really great job.
No, I agree. You're right. It's a bit like you know, that Cal's writing in English and Joe's sort of writing in Swahili, because they're really coming at it from very different angles. But you're right.
Well, that's it. More of a conflict.
Together very well.
I see a conflict. There's a conflict. There's a two-point going on through this. Right. It's not going to... I think it's the balance of each one of the, like you said, the abstract metaphors of Joe and then Ching. But I'd like to know, did they all add to each stanza? And, you know, what were the rules?
That's
of the,
a good question, Adam. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, everybody collaborates in sort of different ways, I don't know. Without talking to Cal, I don't know how they actually collaborate together. I suspect because they're on different countries and different time zones, they probably exchange stanzas, I think, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, Fallon, did you want to say a few words about this collaboration?
Absolutely. I can tell who wrote what, basically, because I know Joe's writing. But this really is beautiful, because it's saying life can still be nurtured even in the most brokenest things, and even if it's missing what drives it to strive to live. Basically, her head being cracked and the actual, as we call it, circuit board to light, to who we are, our brain missing, yet beautiful flowers bloom. They're seeded off of someone else offering what has been once broken, now feeding it and giving it nutrients to make it birth new nature. I love it. This is absolutely gorgeous.
Beautiful. Great comment. Now, Fallon, I believe you have put one of your poems up on the board.
This is a bigger write than I normally do, so I don't. But here we go. It's called Waking Vines.
Okay.
Gather my inhibition amongst vines, blooming alabaster, you and me. Grooming lathered constellations, pond time faster than our leap. Intertwined phalanges weave as the fall captures visions deep beneath its abyss. Battered inside to climb, all that breathes. Precision, seizing a brutal dying kiss. Invest within the tunes, lined in Milky Way's harvest to your monsoon. Bloom's chest, consume, tartness, chewing, filthy play, blanketing, suffrage's wound. Birthing never proclaimed in existence, our cocoon developing unity of us effect. Wings pick off the backs to belonging loneliness. things to collect. Flight amongst my skin only lands to a flesh of a blank blend, sorry, exploring sin amongst poor dilated acceptance, even from only for pretend. Reality's dawn rises in the direction to shine on all that went wrong. Just a melody song, sleeps yawns to dreams prolonged, stepping past truth lines that were drawn. End poem.
Intriguing. Now, this sounds like a poem that was... Were you writing this from hospital, Stella, a month ago?
No, when did I write this? Yeah, I guess I was. I think this was wrote probably around the last day before I got sick, actually. Or right around there, some of that time.
I just felt the vision deep and the falling and the abyss is often for me, you know, a sort of place of darkness and you know, I could sort of relate, you know, what you've been through in with all of the medical treatment you've had to that abyss and to that darkness. So that was where I was going with it.
I can see that.
Yeah. So and I think you sort of captured that really well. So did you want to say a few words?
Yes, I do. Well, for starters, I'm looking at these mega long couplets instead of teeny weeny little stanzas, and I'm like, wow. At a glance, I wouldn't have realized that it was yours. But then when you started reading and I was listening to what you were saying, I found you there. Birthing never proclaimed existence, our cocoon developing unity of us effect. Wings picked off the backs to belonging loneliness seems to collect. But where was that? The one part got me. Intertwined? No. Oh, I hate when that happens.
I bet it's going to be
with coon lined in Milky Way's harvest to your monsoon. Milky Way's harvest, I really like that. There's something... But the invest in tombs makes me sad. So like there was a gamut of emotions that you ran me through in some of these lines. And in my opinion, very different for you, yet very powerful. I'm glad you went and grabbed it. I'm even more glad that you called and read it, Bill.
Thank you. I would like to see what it's about, really. I mean, it's about my mama. It's about my mom.
Right.
I miss her so much. You know, I can just remember the day that she was dying, you know. I just wanted to kiss her one more time. Just one more time.
Yeah.
You know, life goes by quickly, and we should, even if we are at odds with our family, we should still find a way to find that unity and forgive. Because we only have this one shot at it, and, you know, don't let it slip through your fingers because you're just being arrogant or an ass, or you just got to prove a point because you ain't proving anything to nobody. But
No, indeed.
So,
can't ever make everybody happy anyway.
No.
Why turn yourself inside out?
Forgive, because you want to be forgiven. Forgive others. That's how I see it.
Oh, yeah. How can you ever expect to be forgiven by someone if you can't forgive yourself or another person? So forgiveness isn't easy, but it's good. You don't have to forget what he did or how it made you feel, but it sure does relieve a lot of the weight off your shoulders when you just let it go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Love you, Phil.
Love you, too.
Nice chat. Yeah. All that is stuff you carry with you. It's weight. And when you leave this plane of existence, you want to be as light as you can be. So get rid of that weight. Don't carry it around with you.
That's true.
I like that.
It's definitely true.
I like that. And I think that's a nice way to put it. Now, Deb, we've got a couple of other sound clouds. Did you want to play one of those next?
Sure. You don't want to do the one on the board?
Oh, we could do that. Let's have a look. Which one's on the board? Tell me which one's on the board. Oh, Joe's one. Okay. Well, let's...
Yeah, we have that
Joe's
and then the two recordings. So,
yeah.
However...
Okay. Well, I'll read Joe's one and then we'll do the two recordings. Yeah. So, this is Aware Destiny 8. By In Chains, and it goes a little bit like this. Sharp-edged heart still hardens somewhat in spine-tailed chambers living on borrowed time. When ghosts do away with memories after the sunlight, black and white work of sternum, ash after breeding in broken lullabies. The sound of rain when peering into my own waking eyes. It reminds me of death, the today, the use of big words muffled in vain. Yo-yo moon dangling for years above an ocean with rock candy shores. How my ear canals withstood extremities of storm. Ring-a-ring of roses sang that happy man upon a graveside of nodged white buttercups. And in drum break of old mountain, song, the sky at night it fell down. Upon sooty rooftops, a wingless nightingale died. My skin it still held, bruises from the afterlife. Ping pong.
Bruises from the afterlife, wow.
Go ahead, Deb, I'm playing catch up.
For one thing, it was very, very interesting to hear you read Joe. To hear her words in your voice was very interesting. When ghosts do away with memories after the sunlight, black and white work of sternum, ash, after breathing a broken lullaby. Such a broken lullaby, just the thought of a broken lullaby is such a sad thing. But I'm still like, okay, ring around the rosies, sang in a happy man upon a graveside of nudged white buttercups. And it's funny because if people sat and really looked up what the ring around the rosy was about, they'd be surprised.
The plague.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it sounds like this fun little tune but anyway, so that was pretty deep for me, but I'm still, my skin is still held bruises from the afterlife. That like is a gut punch. Great share, Joe. Thanks for sending it. And I love the song that she applied at the bottom. Chris Perry, Conjure Our Hearts, great song.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That one. Did you want to say a few words about Joe's piece?
Oh, absolutely. I love how, I mean, the way that she constructed this, and I also was very drawn to that same stanza that Deb was, too. But there's, I mean, every one of them offers so much. Sharp-edged heart still hardened somewhat in spine-tailed chambers living on borrowed time. And that is us. We are just like a caged chamber to what to what we have, and you know, sometimes we don't take great protection into it. We just, you know, take for granted what we have, and then sometimes, like, I think she's, I don't know if this is about the pandemic, is taking lives, and where she says the black and the white work of sternum ashes after breathing in broken lullabies, and because we are not given the right information on this thing, it's all over the place, and people listen, don't listen, they don't do this, they do that, what they say they do, and there's no real cut and dry on how to handle this thing. And I think where it says, ya-ya moon dangling for years above an ocean with rock candy shores, how my ear canals withstand extremities of storm, extreme storages. Because rock candy is like it melts. It's sticky and it melts, and it doesn't stay very long. It's very pretty and very it catches your eye, but it doesn't stay. It doesn't last long. So this is just wow, absolutely gorgeous and very, very. It's very Joe.
Yes, yes. Joe's back writing again after a break, and she's very Joe-ishly writing, which is great because nobody writes Joe like Joe. Thank you for sending it to us, Joe. And we now have a Deb, one of the SoundClouds. So I'm going to go into the studio and play that now. Here we go.
Sweet peppermint. Her gray twiny hair sat atop her head in a lopsided bun that slid down a little each customer she served, as did the thick glasses too large and heavy on her small, frail face. With shaky, skin-thin hands, she scanned my pack of gum. "Oh, peppermint, my favorite," she beamed, with twinkling eyes soothing the ache inside my worn walls. "Now you be careful on those icy roads, honey," she called out as I turned to leave. The sweetness in her smile and voice blanketed me as the pages of an old book I seeped into as a child, warming me as I walked home that cold winter night, and still today as I write this.
There we go. Deb, did you want to say a few words about that poem?
Yeah. For starters, I missed your voice, Naomi. I'm glad you're back. Sweet peppermint. Now, in case you don't know, whenever you put sweet in the poem or the title, then you're writing about Sweet Pea. Ask her, she'll tell you. But seriously, I thought that you did really awesome with the shaky skin. Thin hands, she scanned my pack of gum. Oh, peppermint, my favorite, she beamed, with twinkling eyes soothing the ache inside my warm walls. I like the, it's got like slight sensual undertones that actually make me grin. So I think that she did a very clever job with this. And again, I say, I'm glad she sent the recording because I missed her voice. And keep them coming. Thanks for sending it in.
Was this or are you
No, I've caught up. Yeah, this is a tribute to her. To Naomi. This is Naomi, correct? Right? This was? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I love the way she writes. Her the angle she went at referring to, I'm going to lose it here if I don't. The outside coldness back then, and how she's writing it now, right? She ended and still today, as I write this, so she can still feel and taste that memory. That was a strange way to tie it up in the last line like that, but I think it's brilliantly done, thought out. To describe you be careful on your icy roads, honey. The glass is too big. Just the little details, you know. Perfect.
Very, very good. Thank you, Hedda. And Fallon, did you want to say a few words about Naomi's voice?
Yes, I was having tears for one because my granny Red, as we called her, she'd always call it a block of gum. You know, give me a block. So for her to talk about gum, it just shook me to the core. She said it in her auntie, never know. Sometimes you will never know when the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. And I think what I gather is that after she left that night, that her granny or whoever this was maybe passed away, and she says, warming me as I walked home that cold winter night and still today as I write this. Because the person's still in her heart and soul, and that's what keeps it gives her that smile, that good feeling that you want, instead of having something that made you cry on the way home. You just had the, oh, she wanted my gum. Instead of her crying, oh, I'm going to die. She's like, I want your gum. You know, and that to me, that's just precious. I mean, that's something that you wish for. Just absolutely stunning work is always Naomi.
Thank you very much, Helen. Now, I'm going to interrupt the show, Hatter, because we have to have a theme for next week. Yes?
Oh, yes, we do.
And I'm not sure if I've used this theme before. You're going to have to tell me. But I don't think I have. I don't think I have. I think that we can go next week with the theme of soup. That's right. Soup. Now, you might
no
think,
soup
Hatter,
for you.
That there's only, sorry? There's three
I said
meanings
no soup
of soup.
For you. I was just, yeah.
There's three
yeah.
meanings of soup. There's the traditional, everyday, liquid food with meat, fish or vegetables, stock as a base, all that stuff. Right, that's one. Then there's the something suggesting you have a heavy fog, right? So like a pea super in London. So that's like a very heavy fog or mist. Or finally, you can be in an unfortunate predicament. That stump landed her in the soup. Yes, so an unfortunate predicament, a heavy fog, or something you drink with a spoon. Soup. Any one of those three
right.
meanings you can go with.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
Sounds
yeah.
fun.
You don't have to go with the everyday, you know, Seinfeld, you know, no soup for you. You can branch out into the mist, or you can branch out into the fact that it was an unfortunate predicament.
I like the thickest pea soup.
You like
so
the pea
was
soup?
So thick.
Yeah.
How thick
yeah.
was it?
Yeah.
It was so thick.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. For next week.
Soup.
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 I can't think that's soup. I think it's kind of fun, really.
All right.
Ooh.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So.
Wait one second.
We have
like the food, or like fog, or like what was a predicament? Was that the last one?
Unfortunate predicament.
Yeah,
or
predicament.
Like
there's the three different meanings.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. You can write on any one of them, all together, if you wish.
Hmm.
Yeah. No. We are dead. Down to, on treasure, I think, the last poem. Is that right?
That is right. And it's by a poet new to sharing on the shows.
Yep, I'd be happy about that. And so, that being the case, you've already put the poem up on the board by Sass Burton. New poet in our group, and so I will go to videotape.
Perceive. Feeling free in this gentle breeze, in my own skin, I am finally at ease. Living like I only have myself to please, not begging for acceptance on my knees. Knowing I have a purpose to achieve, what I want to do and in what I believe. Knowing what I now need to do to relieve the suffering and all the pain I perceive. I'll float away on a current of surrender. Now feel the moment's caress as tender. Can finally relinquish my role as defender and receive the treasure in life's splendor. End poem.
You've got to love a good English rhyming poet, Deb. Good English rhyming
yep.
poet. You've got to love it. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely do. Hatter, do you want to say some words first?
Yeah. I caught that immediately, too. What a find. Yeah, just read beautifully. This is the English hallmark, man. I felt a little towards the beginning and to the middle, I felt a little Seussian. The beat, the cadence of the rhyme, that it sort of broke away
yep.
towards the end, not good or bad, just a trait.
Yep.
Yeah. Impressed.
Very nice. Very nice. Like their work. Phelan,
did you want to say a few words about that poem?
I thought it was very well polished. It was simplistic, but I believe it's classic, and it's a timeless. It's something that can be read anytime. I loved it.
Good. Neat. Neatly done. And very well read. Deb, what did you think?
Well, I think I am very impressed, and especially with having another voice. I love when
yes.
new people participate, especially when they send in the sound when they can't call and we get to hear them read themselves.
Yes.
I like the way she pronounces words and the sound of her voice. And I just want to say thank you for the poem. And
yes.
I hope you continue to participate. Very much enjoyed listening to you.
Absolutely. Nobody reads English poetry like the English. Especially, you know, Australians, we, you know, do some murderous things to language. So the English know all about it. And you can tell. So, Treasure, we didn't even have a single pirate poem. Arr! Crazy.
Not
one single pirate.
Oh, that's true.
Arr!
That's true.
No pirates.
Wow.
Anyway. But we had just about everything else. So, my thanks, Hatter, to all the people for calling in, and I'm sure you'll do all the thank yous, but I think they went very well.
Well,
and we have, of course, Soup next week. Soup.
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 Call him Soup.
And I just learned that Soup Ing, I-N-G, Soup Ing, is revving something up, supercharging it. Wow.
Super
yeah.
Souping
it up. Yeah. You're like
super
for a car.
I have
yep.
no idea.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Great word, Soup. Heaps of different possibilities. Anyway, sorry, Hatter. We've now finished.
And before you say goodbye, Hatter, real quick, I just want to remind everyone that in the Naughty Room, there'll be a show tomorrow with the Pretty Sweet Teas. And here in A Team of Voices at 10 o'clock on Monday night is Personal Prompt Monday. And the prompt is red, and still plenty of time to get your photo. I put the link on the board. And
well
Tuesday
done.
Is
you.
Under the bus with Pretty Bird. And she wants something wicked. So there's the next couple of days. Back to you guys.
Cool.
Yeah, bring your scare on. Closer we get to Halloween. So last couple of weeks anyway. Right? This is we got 22, a little more than 3 weeks. A little more than 3 weeks.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, we're at, looks like, 30 minutes to the end of time. Take this time to thank everybody for participating, and I'll try to remember, but I would get it wrong. You know who you are. I appreciate it. Thank you. Beverly, could never do it without you. Thank you. AP, stay strong, and see you probably before next week, but next year's for some soup.
Yes. Well, I thought about it, Tata, because my aunties, who are wonderful people, both of them, worked out what they could do for me, and they sent me no less than 24 single-serve homemade soups that are now in my freezer. I've had about four of them so far. So
I knew that was a really soup.
Yep.
Yeah, I always found that episode on Seinfeld very pertinent because I knew a couple of guys that I became friends with, good friends, who were the sous chefs at the dinner house, the prime rib places or whatever the expensive one. And
yeah.
I'll tell you what, some soup that would buckle your knees. And I'm not kidding.
Oh, no.
They were.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anything with soup, I get to.
So, anyway, there you go. So, brilliant stuff. Anyways, that's what I thought about it. So, there you go.
So, everyone, continue healing, please. And
yes.
Great show, you
Get
guys.
Better, Helen.
Bell, I'm glad you called. AP, keep healing. Hatter, keep healing.
Yep.
And I got to hang up, but love and respect, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Okay. Great show. Thanks again.
Yep. Thanks,
see you next week.
Cool.
Okay. Bye, everybody.